the most nerve-wracking part was absolutely getting to player intros, the national anthem, a flyover, and then kickoff. That whole 15-minute window was just pure, like, it was panic, but it was controlled. Like, it's hard to explain because I knew, you know, you've rehearsed it and you've done it so many times, but it has to be right. It just has to be right, or everyone's writing about it in the newspaper.
Hello and welcome to this edition of my podcast. My name is John Sanders. I hope you enjoy it. This is episode number 36, and today I'm joined by Teresa Petronovich. Teresa is currently part of the sales team with Chicago Title Las Vegas. Prior to Chicago Title, Teresa worked in the world of sports, including the Denver Broncos for more than 10 years, the Olympic Games in Rio de Janeiro, IMG Academy in Florida, and for my beloved San Francisco 49ers. Teresa continues to run sporting events, most recently for the World Team Tennis and a Las Vegas fundraiser, including the Vegas Golden Knights and Las Vegas Raiders. I am so very proud to have Teresa as a coworker and to call her a friend. Teresa, welcome to my podcast. Thanks for joining me.
Oh, thank you so much, John. I can't tell you how honored I was that you actually reached out and asked me to be a part of your podcast. It's going so well and so many downloads. And anyway, I'm excited to be here with you today.
Yeah, I appreciate you saying that. You know, it's been a work in progress, and it was kind of just putting myself out there, trying something new, something I wanted to do, having no idea where it was going to go. And I guess I'm humbly proud of what's going on, having no idea if, you know, where it's going to go in the future, but I just love it. So, but you know, I appreciate you and our guests for taking the time to join me, because let's face it, without guests, I have no podcast whatsoever. Nobody's going to listen to me talk for 25 minutes. I love your story for more than one reason. And obviously we're going to get to a big part of why with my 49er and your 49er connection. But from the moment I met you, when you walked into Chicago Title way back in the day, it was just, there was just something about you that we just kind of connected. Like, I mean, we do business a lot the same way now that we know that, but you know, we're going to get to all that. Okay. We're going to get to all that. But before we go any further, I just want to say, I've told you before, but now the listeners can have it. You're recently married. Congratulations.
I am. I got married on March 6th, right before COVID hit. We got married at the Bellagio down on the Strip. And then the next week, everything shut down. So talk about an amazing newlywed experience. I mean, we get to live in COVID for, anyway, it's going on 6 months now. We just had our 6 month anniversary, and I can't believe it, but thank you very much. We're very happy. And he's an awesome guy.
He really is. I mean, I've had a chance to meet him a few different times, and he's a very cool dude. So, well, let's go all the way back to the very beginning. Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Fresno, California. So I grew up in Fresno. My whole family is from Fresno. I went to Clovis West High School, which is a highly, highly competitive school district. So I started running track, playing volleyball, all of those things in elementary school in third and fourth grade. And organized sports all the way through, was part of several national championships for cheerleading, and I ran track and field, and then I went on to, and gymnastics as well, and then I went on to Fresno State University. So I'm a graduate of Fresno State University, and during my time at Fresno State University, I tried out for the San Francisco 49ers cheerleaders. So that's where my journey started in professional sport.
Yeah. So you slow down. You're way too far ahead of me right now. So I have family. I'm from Northern California, first of all, about 2 hours to the north of Fresno, town of Lodi. But my wife's family currently lives in Fresno, and we used to take time and head down to Visalia. So I know all about the Fresno, Clovis West, Visalia, everything that's going on there. And you're right. It is very competitive. We would play sports and we would go down there and we would get our butts beat in baseball to a few different college or few different high schools. So I know just how competitive that Central Valley is when it comes to sports. And so you talk about, you were into many different sports. You mentioned running, volleyball. Was there anything else?
Cheerleading, gymnastics. So yeah, those were my sports that I played growing up. During high school, I narrowed it down to just track and field, gymnastics, and cheerleading. And back then, we could all do multiple sports. So that was really nice. Now they kind of focus you in. So I really enjoyed a great active high school competitive sporting life, and then went on to college after that.
Yeah. So talk about Fresno State. I actually did not know that you went to Fresno State. I remember my very first college football game of any significance. And I say that because there's some lesser than college football games in Northern California. I went to a Fresno State game. They were playing Washington State University, and Drew Bledsoe was the quarterback of Washington State. So have no idea if you were there at that point, but when did you go to Fresno?
I went to Fresno State. I graduated high school in 1987 and I finished in, it took me more than 4 years. I'm embarrassed to say, but yes. Yeah, so 92, I graduated 92.
Okay. So you graduated Fresno in 92 and you've already kind of led into it, which is totally cool. But I mean, I have to spend some time on this 49er connection. You mentioned you try out. What was that by, like, was it something you were really interested in chasing? Was it almost like a dare from a friend? Like, hey, I'm going to try out. Will you come with me? How did that work?
No, actually it was really cool because there were several women from Fresno, Madera, Visalia area that helped start the 49er cheerleading team, the original team. And one of them was a friend of mine, Angela King, and she later became a huge mentor to me. She was a 49er cheerleader at 18 years old. And as soon as I graduated high school, I was like, I want to be her. I want to be like Angela. I want to be a 49er cheerleader. And there were a few girls in the Fresno area, and we all went up together and tried out. And then we did carpools for several years. At one point I moved to the Bay Area, but there's definitely a ton of Fresno girls that were members of the 49ers Gold Rush.
So real quick, what years were you part of the Gold Rush?
89 through 93.
Okay. So I started going to 49er games when I was basically, gosh, I'm going to call it 12 years old. So we're going to say 86.
And so
you were like down there. And
yes,
I can't believe this. I have to share this because I love sharing this. My very first 49er game, it was a preseason game because my grandma wouldn't give me any of the real seats. I had to go to preseason. It's against the Jets. Mark Gastineau was playing for the Jets. Huey Lewis in the News opened up and sang the national anthem and a couple of songs before. And to this day, Huey Lewis in the News is one of my absolute favorite bands. That is nuts to me that you were down there.
I was down there. I actually have a picture of myself with Huey Lewis and the News somewhere on the field. So yeah, they, of course, from the San Francisco Bay Area. And so they were always up for doing national anthems and playoff games. And pretty much anytime the 49ers called, they were there.
Yeah, I kind of have to wipe my memory now of all the things that I thought about the San Francisco cheerleaders from here on out. This is just horrible, horrible, horrible stuff. But let's hang here for just a second because, I mean, I've seen enough documentaries and different things about sports and cheerleaders and various things that are going on, but you kind of mentioned it. So there was a Fresno tie to the San Francisco Gold Rush, and you guys would commute back and forth. Mm-hmm. And then you mentioned that you moved there for a bit, but as glamorous as the fans think it is to be the cheerleading squad, right? You're at the games, you're doing all the stuff that you're doing. It's hard work, right?
Oh, yes. It is. I mean, our rehearsals, because people traveled in from all over the Bay Area, our rehearsals were from 10 a.m. until 4 p.m. every Saturday. So we would just go and maybe take 20 minutes for lunch, but we just full day of dancing. And then we'd get up early before the game, have another 2-hour rehearsal, and then perform for the game. So it was a lot of work. And then during the week, I mean, it was way back then. So we didn't video things. I mean, it was just kind of remembering the routines, practicing on our own until we got there on Saturday and we could actually practice as a team. But yeah, it was hard work.
Candlestick Park in general, mm-hmm. for those that haven't been there, it's an amazing spot for me, but it's not an amazing spot for most. Pretty brutal towards the end of the season. It can rain a lot. It's really muddy. The water level, the water table, I should say, is slightly below the field level. I have to imagine that you had a few games where it was just a muddy mess, right?
Oh my gosh. That you brought that up is hilarious because I have so many stories. I mean, there were times where we were, like you said, it is below sea level. They had to put out plywood on the sides of the field for photographers, for anybody that was out there and for us to dance on. And then you're dancing on the plywood and it's just squirting mud everywhere. And I remember one quarter break performance where we just went for it. I mean, we would do, we did tumbling, we did split leaps, all of these things. And I remember we were in you won't know what this means, but it was a roll off formation and the girls were coming from the back and they're doing split leaps. And I watched three of them just slide on their butts. And I just went, I'm not doing this. And I just walked and knelt down for my next move. But and they, it was quite the stadium, and I'm so glad they have a new stadium with new facilities and everything for those women to enjoy, because that's always pretty special as well.
Yeah, I bet. So we're going to fast forward a little bit, but what after San Francisco, you make a move, where do you go?
I go to Denver, Colorado. You know, growing up in Fresno, it's a great city to grow up in, but that's kind of all I knew. And I really wanted to try something different. And I don't know, the mountains were calling my name. And so I did a little research. I said I was leaving the 49ers and I was going to move to Denver. And I kind of wanted to be a ski bum for a little bit. And the 49ers said, oh, well, Denver is starting a cheerleading program this year. They hadn't had cheerleaders in 17 years. And a woman named Jay Howarth had been hired to start that program. And I knew Jay from different American Bowl games that we had done overseas. And I reached out to Jay and she was like, come on out, try out. I need help. I don't know where, I don't know if these women have ever seen, I don't know if the city, I don't know how trained these women are out there. And so I moved out there to Denver and I was on the team the first year and helped her put everything together. And then the second year I became the director of cheerleaders and I ran the program.
Again, I know just enough to know that I don't know anything. Cheerleading is nobody's primary employment. You are a cheerleader, but you're also a professional at some sort, whatever it might be during the course of the week. And so you moved to Denver and you're chasing, I don't know if I call it a dream. Maybe it is. I have no idea. But you move there with the idea you're going to be Denver Broncos cheerleader. But you also have to get a job, right? So it, not necessarily for you specifically, although I'd love to know. But in general, cheerleading, they have Monday to Fridays. And it could be anything, right? It could be a realtor who we deal
right.
with. A secretary, right? Am I wrong?
No, you're absolutely right. And actually most of the women, when we first started the program in Denver, we had a lot of students. We had master's degree students. We had women that were going into medical school. So there, I mean, it's a wide variety. And then we also had business owners. Throughout the course of the program, I mean, we had lawyers, we had women with PhDs in psychology, and we had real estate agents. So, I mean, it is a wide, wide bandwidth of careers for the cheerleaders. And they're usually very A personality women, and they're very competitive. And so they do very well in all of their careers as well. So it's a very, they're competitive, they're competitors, and they work hard. So they carry that over into their everyday life as well.
Yeah, I could totally see that. I mean, they're athletic, they're work their butts off, right? And so much so, many people outside of the game, so to speak, they don't see just how hard they work, because they're working a 9 to 5 or even longer midweek, going to school, doing all those things. And then they're busting their butts doing the training so that they're ready for game day. Game day has to be kind of like the birthday party, right? It's like, that's the fun part, because right, there's 65,000 people in the stands and you're doing your thing with all of your friends, which, I mean, I don't even want to get into 65,000 people watching you do what you do, right? Like, I guess I can only imagine you have stories about not making it, not doing right. But my point is, like, you work so damn hard, not just on your craft, but in your day to day, so that you can then do the others. It's incredible to me. I've done a little bit of research, but so the first year you're with the Denver Broncos as a cheerleader, but then you get asked to go into more of a coach.
We call it, it's called the director of cheerleaders. So you're the boss. You run the team. It doesn't necessarily mean you do all the choreography. Some teams have their directors do choreography. I did some, and then we had a choreographer, and we also used quite a few different choreographers from all over. I had contacts in California. So, but it's running the team, and it is a business. Most teams are asked to at least cover their expenses, if not make money. So it's selling sponsorships. It is junior cheer programs, appearances. So all of that is revenue for the Broncos team to cover the cost of the program, paying the women, the uniforms, all of that. And then, so it's its own business. And that was my job.
Really? So you actually had to essentially, on top of all the other responsibilities, you had to fundraise, you had to run camps, you had to make appearances, and so that you generate funds to then offset the cost of being a cheerleader?
Yes. It's a revenue stream. It is considered a revenue stream for the team. So you start out as an expense, and then, you know, every year it's just like budgets, and you look at your expenses but cheerleading teams for the NFL are a revenue stream.
That's kind of crazy to me, just because NFL teams are billion-dollar industries, right? And I'm sure, yes, you're making profit, but exactly how much profit are you making relative to what a billion-dollar industry is doing?
It all adds up. It all adds up.
I guess. So now, how long did you oversee that whole operation in Denver?
For 22 years.
22 years. And yes. Now, if I remember right, didn't you gain additional responsibilities with the Denver Broncos?
I did. So when I first started with the team, we had like 65 employees, and that included our coaching staff as well. By the time I left, we had 350 employees. So, you know, we all wore many, many hats. I also was the assistant to the director of marketing. So I wrote stories for game day programs and, you know, did minor graphic design work and all of those things. We just all wore many hats. But as I, after I had been with the team for, I think, 7 or 8 years with the cheerleaders, I was asked to take over all of the game entertainment. And so I started planning the show from top to bottom. I wrote all of the scripts for our PA announcer. I worked on the video board and scheduled everything from, you know, time gates open till the time we close. I worked with our DJs. So I essentially planned the game. And that was my job for the last 15 years of my career there. And I loved it. I mean, it was a great career, and I received so many great memories and moments from that I'll treasure forever.
Oh, I'm sure. It's so, from the moment a fan walks in the game to the time that they leave, everything that happens that they see, short of the unpredictability of a game, right? But everything that you can plan, that fell on your shoulders as game entertainment?
Well, okay. So yes, essentially, I wrote the entire game day script, which is a very interactive and long document. But we also have we have a team of people that work on it together. But my responsibility was director of cheerleaders and game entertainment. So, you know, I'm booking the national anthem singer. I'm booking the military. I'm booking the flyovers. I am scheduling all of that, timing it, rehearsing it, scheduling all of the advertising on the video board. Did I create all of the advertising on the video board? No, but I'm scheduling it. So, you know, there's a team that puts it all together and makes it work. And that goes from, you know, the crew up inside our video board, my PA announcer. I had a PA announcer for pregame and halftime standing right next to me that I was cueing the whole time, or going, wait, stop, slow down, you know, those types of things, you know. And then we're communicating upstairs with the guys upstairs on what's going on the boards and the replays, and then working with football ops as well, because they have specific needs, and cueing player intros. And so, yeah, but yeah, that was my responsibility.
So I can't help but think back to my sporting days. And honestly, it could even be present day whenever we go to teach a class or we're doing something. Heck, it could even be a video or a podcast where you kind of feel this adrenaline of what you're about to do. I can't even imagine the excitement, the adrenaline, the scared that you feel. Yeah. Like you're prepared, you're ready to go. Which is going to lead me into my next question about organization. But talk a little bit about this, the adrenaline you're feeling. Like, game days are game days, right?
Oh, yeah. There's no stopping kickoff, that's for sure. Or you're going to get fined if you're not on time. So it's a big deal. And I would lay in bed the night before a game, and I had my timeline memorized down to the second. Like, it was, you know, national anthem at 2:04:20, because I have a flyby coming by at 2:07 on the dot, and, you know, just things like that. So I would lay in bed and I would go over my timeline in my head. I would say it out loud. The most nerve-wracking part was absolutely getting to player intros, the national anthem, a flyover, and then kickoff. That whole 15-minute window was just pure, like, it was panic, but it was controlled. Like, I it's hard to explain, because I knew, you know, you've rehearsed it and you've done it so many times, but it has to be right. It just has to be right, or everyone's writing about it in the newspaper.
And let's take that and transition it the exact same thing into what I like to think. You and I are very similar. I think we have a lot of similarities in how we do business, relationally, how we interact with people. We are our task type people, and the way that we structure things. You probably much so more than I, and I like to think that I do it at a decent level. But I have to believe you pull many of those experiences over into present day with what you do as part of the Chicago Title team, right?
So I do. I have learned, but I have also learned so much being at Chicago Title. So I have taken some things from my old job and then learned so much at my new job that is, I'm so thankful for. Our team, every single different salesperson is good in so many different ways. And so I've always been a master of going, I love that. I want to take that. Oh, I love that. I want to take that. That has been, you know, not that I'm some creative person, but I've been able to, like, see something that really, really caught my attention and then incorporate it into what I do and change it a little bit to make it more me. But as far as organization, I'm a spreadsheet person. So I keep track of everything that way. I sort, I filter, I do pivot tables. I do, like, all of that is like how my brain works. And so, you know, keeping my database in order, really looking at numbers and really understanding what's going on in the market. So technology is just something I love, and I use it for my business and how to bring my clients value. So yes, I would say I've definitely pulled some marketing ideas and some organizational ideas in. And then I've also grown and learned as well working for our awesome company.
Yeah, I think there's that saying out there, R&D, right? Rip off and duplicate. And we're all looking to be original in our own way. Part of it is taking somebody else's idea and spinning off of it. And it's, let's face it, there aren't too many brand new, unique ideas out there that nobody else has done, whether it's a podcast or it's video or it's anything in between. but you still have to have your own unique spin on what it is. I know you've done a great thing with some of your, they're called tea talks, right? You've
right.
talked with different people. You've used some video. I think that you do a great job of it. It's something we continue to push out. But do you like doing those like tea talks? Or another one I love that you've done is you've put together an amazing weekly graphic that shows information that's slightly different than what most people put out, but it was probably just an idea that you said, hey, I like this, but I want to do my own thing. You like doing stuff like that?
I do. And, you know, my goal is to always do a tea talk once a week, but I am behind. At first, you never want to put yourself out there like that. And you get nervous and you're like, oh gosh, do I really want to go Facebook Live or okay, but I'm going to do it. And every time I've done it, great interaction with my guest or, you know, something that they had a lot of fun. And that's always, I always want to provide information, but have fun doing it and give people an insight into someone's personality and my personality. So afterwards, I always am thankful that I did it, but it's always a challenge getting to the do it.
Yeah, I'm going to give a plug to my buddy, Sean Carpenter. He listens to many of these, but he has a saying, it's build relationships, solve problems, have fun. And at the end of the day, mm-hmm. if we can do those three things and do it our own unique way, then we're going to be having a good time. So I want to wrap this up, but I love talking about what we do and how we bring mm-hmm. value. And we're not going to break down 35 minutes of title. That's not it at all. But I think that we, as sales executives for Chicago Title, and I'm turning it into a Chicago Title commercial and it's not meant to be, but I do think we bring value. If I could put you on the spot real quick, value-wise, what's something unique, whether it's you or it's us as an industry, what do we do that you think agents can find value in that maybe they're missing the boat on?
The thing is, and you put me on the spot, I know for one thing, but I think that every agent operates differently, what their comfort level is, how they like to market. And sometimes it's challenging them to go out of their comfort zone and try something new to generate new business. And other times it's really just being a support for them. I like to do this. Okay, well, I'm going to help you really target the people that you should be targeting and offer up ideas, like just offer up ideas and shoot them, you know, I'm a cheerleader. So I'm the one that's going, hey, I just saw you close on this deal. Awesome. How can I help you, you know, maximize on that transaction? What can I, you know, so providing them ideas on how to maximize on that transaction. Because a lot of people, they're like, okay, now what should I do? And being that resource for them. And then also new agents, you know, they get out of school and we throw the tools at them. Oh, you got this and you got that. But what do they do? What do the steps that they take now? It's like, okay, yeah, I've got an app and I've got this, but okay, let's step by step, let's talk about this and really come up with a game plan. And I think everybody's got a different game plan. Everybody wants to do things just a little bit differently based on their comfort level and just being willing to listen and help them with what their needs are.
That's a perfect answer. I know I just made you sweat a little bit because you didn't know that one was coming, but you nailed it. So, okay, last question. Have you ever beat Tate at tennis?
Oh, hell no. Can I say hell on here? Oh, hell no. I can't even return a serve. I can't even return a serve from her. Are you kidding? She's awesome. I never played tennis. It was not one of my sports. I took it up late in life and I am not good. So no. I cannot beat her in tennis.
Well, to be fair, she's a, you know, fifth year senior at TCU right now, and she's an amazing tennis player. So it's okay. You can't.
No.
Well, T, thank you so much for being with me. Can you real quick share with the listeners out there that want to get in contact with you? How can they track you down?
Sure. My email is super simple, Teresa, T-E-R-E-S-A at CTT.com. I'm also on Instagram at Teresa Petronovich. And then if you go to my link in Instagram, you get all kinds of ways to contact me. You can text me directly, call me directly. And then there's also our Chicago Title website. Just Google Chicago Title Nevada and we'll pop up and my contact information's on there as well. So thank you so much.
You're welcome. One final thank you to Teresa Petronovich for joining me on my podcast. Thank you, everyone, for listening. If you like what you've heard, please leave me a review and rate it on iTunes, Spotify, and the other podcast platforms. If you'd like to connect with me, you can find me on Facebook. Just search John Sanders. I'm also on Instagram and Twitter at SandersPGA and LinkedIn as well. If you're looking to make a real estate purchase anywhere in the United States, I'd love to help you out. I'm not a real estate agent, but I work with some of the best commercial and residential brokers in the nation, and I'd love to refer you to one of my partners. Thanks again for listening.